A little tool to remind us that everyone has a story to tell. A story to tell of how you came to our church and a story of how you are growing in faith. We got that idea from Bill James, who is the Minister of Education at Chillicothe Baptist Church. And Bill and his wife are sitting right back here. Bill, raise your hand and your wife. Yeah, bless him. Okay, great. Thank you, Bill. And see there how your ministry expands and multiplies and has an impact far beyond anything sometimes you can imagine. And we really appreciate that idea. It's been real helpful to us. Everyone has a story to tell because God is at work in everyone's life. You don't have to be Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. Just be you. And God is real. He speaks to us in our own unique way. Your story is an important story. And today, Kim Fullen is going to come right now and share her red chair story of how she came to our church and also how God is at work. So it's a little more than just a red chair story, but God is doing good things. Thank you, Kim. Kim, come on up here. And tell us now, how did you get started here? Tell us how that took place.
It was actually through one of the ministries that this church provides to the community, Celebrate Recovery. And the first couple of times I attended there, Tom Camden, who's the leader of that, invited me, told me that him and his wife, Sherry, were members here, and they would love to have me and my family visit. So here I am, 2.5 years later. And through Celebrate Recovery and the love and help from a lot of you in this church, I've learned so many things, and some of the things that I'm involved in this church is the LIFT team, like Sherry was talking about, and Celebrate Recovery. I'm an assistant small group leader, and I'm on the finance team. I help with Kids Fest, and if there's other things, I forget what they are, but those are the main ones that I'm doing, which... You know, the Celebrate Recovery is kind of what has led me into the testimony of my life that I'm going to give to you today. And through my life, I never quite felt complete or secure or stable, like there should be something more. When I was 12, my parents had divorced for the second time. At that time, I felt abandoned, lonely, fearful, full of hurt and anger. And over the next few years, coming into those wonderful teenage years, I started drinking quite a bit. And over the next few years, there was some experimenting with drugs and sex. And before I turned 18, a few months before that, I became pregnant for my daughter. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I go from one thing to another, and now I'm going to be a parent. What am I going to do with this child? Well, through all the hurt and anger, you know, I did become sober because I thought, I don't want my little girl to grow up and live or be the same thing that I was becoming. So I became sober, and then before she was two, her dad and I broke up. So I was a single mom with a little girl, so I got a second job. And bar scene on the weekends didn't leave a whole lot of time for my little one. In 1994, I met my husband, and I thought, okay, finally, you know, I have a child, I have a husband, my life is going to be fixed, you know, things are going to get better, I'm going to be complete, and move on, and be the good mom and the wife that I was supposed to be. Well, that didn't seem to happen. And with all the old pain and hurt that I'd carried around with me all those years, I began having new ones with my husband and the expectations that I had on him and my child that they were going to fix me and make my life better. So back to alcohol I turned. And, of course, that caused problems in my marriage. And so many things happened. I became distant in the relationship with my husband. And about 2 years after that, I became pregnant with our son, who is Trevor, and I thought, you know, finally, I have a complete family. Things are going to be perfect, and my life is not going to be like this anymore. I'm not going to have hurt and pain and anger. Well, I did. I was a stay-at-home mom with him until he was about two, and my daughter, and I went back to work, and working swing shift as a mother with two little ones was not a good idea, but it was better income for our family, and I thought, I'm doing the right things. And I just remember being so hopeless and lonely, So back to alcohol I went, and it was stronger that time than it had ever been in my life. And I just remember feeling like I wanted to die. I didn't want to go on because I was causing so much hurt to the people that meant the most to me, my kids, my husband, my family. And about that time, my mom and my brother had started going to a little church up by South Bloomfield. And I thought, they're seriously going to church? You know, I thought, this God thing can't be real. He can't be real, because if he loved me, why would I be going through all of this? Why would I be the person that I was? And all the church people that I talked to, I thought, how can they even say these things, these good things about him? And at that point, I realized that all of my hate and my anger was really towards God more than anyone or anything else. So at that time, I thought, you know, I see changes in my mom and brother that was unexplainable to me. I saw joy in them that I couldn't explain. I couldn't even understand. So I started going to church. And about a month later, I went to the altar with a broken heart, and I asked God to save me and to forgive me for my sins. And he did. And I knew that something had changed. I knew something was different. And even though then I couldn't explain it, and things did start changing in my life. You know, I never drank anymore. I didn't even have a desire to do it. And there was other things, other aspects of my life that God was changing. And I thought, oh, you know, this is great. This is good. But about a year later, I thought, I still have all this hurt and all this pain, and I still feel empty. What is going on? Why is it? So over the next course of the 8 or 9 years, I fell in and out of church. I would go for a while, be good, and then I'd fall out again. And so I came to this church and came to Celebrate Recovery. Through the process that I've learned in there is that there's nothing that I can do or I cannot do that ever makes me enough for God. But Jesus Christ has done that for me, and he does it for me each and every day. And, you know, through this process that I've learned that I can't rely on myself. I can't rely on my feelings, but I can rely on God. I can rely on my relationship with Jesus Christ to get me from one mess to another one, from one trial to the next one. And I have the power through his love to do these things, to get through these things, and not perfectly, because as it says in Philippians 1:6, for God who began the good work in me will continue the good work in me until the day that he sends Jesus Christ home to complete me. And that's a promise that I hold on to each and every day. And I'm just so thankful for what God has done in my life and what he does for me each and every day. And my life is not perfect, and things don't always go the way I want them to, which is a good thing, because God knows what we need and not what we want. And my prayer and plea for myself to God each and every day is that I to open my eyes and my ears to see and hear the truth, open my mind and heart to receive it by faith and hope, and to help me surrender my will so I live in your love. Remind me of my responsibility to obey it, and thank you for saving me from myself every day and for transforming my life so you know me. I ask you, give me a desire and burden to share it. Also, give me a passion to know and follow your will and nothing else. And I thank you for listening to my story today.
That is great. And that's a Red Chair story. You have a story. Who will be the next one to share their story?